It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
Las Vegas doesn't sleep, and neither does its appetite for growth, glitz, and groundbreaking ventures. But in a city built on ambition, not every play works, especially at the crossroads of sports and business. And that's where Alan Snell steps in. He's the founder of LVSportsBiz.com, and Alan brings sharp reporting and honest insight into an industry that can be more hype than substance at times. He's one of the rare journalists who calls it straight. No spin, no fluff, just facts and fairness. Alan's a frequent guest on the show, and if you want the real story behind the deals, the teams, and the power players, he's one of only two sports journalists I've had on the show on a regular basis, and the other one is Ron Futrell. So for everything about Alan and LV Sports Biz, go to lvsportsbiz.com, and you can follow him on X at lvsportsbiz.com. And welcome back to the show, Alan.
Hi, it's always great to be here.
Thanks. There's so much interesting news in there. Going on, and I probably want to work backwards. I wanted to talk about the story you broke about the LVCVA, but even more important, I think, now is this whole issue of the stadium and the money behind the stadium, and it's still floating around there. There was an article just the other day in the RJ about how the final figure is still not settled, and it's supposed to be roughly around $2 billion. But I guess my leading question to you, which I'm sure you could expound on, is how does the state legislature and the local government entities get involved and the tourism entities get involved in this project without having a firm idea of what the cost will be? Knowing, of course, with inflation and other factors, it'll be a little bit higher or more higher, but still not have a firm figure before committing taxpayer resources, either in the form of credits or actually funding.
Yeah, that's a great question, Ira. You know, but that's the risk you have when the chairman of your Las Vegas Stadium Authority Board is also the CEO who went before the state legislature 2 years. He's known as Steve Hill, and that's the problem when you have one person functioning as. He functioned as a lobbyist to get public money up to $380 million. And then the A's show up at the stadium board, and there's Steve there. Steve is the chairman of the Las Vegas Stadium Board. And also, you know, Steve is also, as the CEO of the LVCVA, a very well-funded and powerful government agency, he also runs that. So he's also promoting the A's in that way. And if you've noticed at some of the public events, he kind of is an unofficial, just, I'm not sure he's a public spokesman, but he speaks on behalf of the A's. And you raised a good question about, you know, in defense of the A's, you will see a stadium construction budget be amended. Even as the construction is going on, we saw that with the Raiders stadium and the A stadium. Really, it is no surprise that it might go above the $1.75 billion figure, which, if you recall, is actually an amended number after they thought it was going to be $1.5 billion. But in terms of the public, the A's will pick up everything above the $380 million in assistance that the public is on the hook for under that state bill that was approved in 2023. You know, again, just a clarification on that $380 million. He told the stadium board that they plan on using $350 million of the $380 million and that John Fisher is responsible for the balance. Keep in mind, people are nervous because this is the same John Fisher who in the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Area looked at least a half dozen different stadium sites in that market in hopes of building a stadium there. It was never done. And, you know, there was, to me, a very viable location right on their waterfront, at their harbor. I mean, if you just kind of look at the renderings of that, that looked like a terrific location and could have kept their team in really one of the biggest and premier markets in the country, instead of building a stadium on a site, Ira, that you have a lot of history at, or at the
Sure.
Tropicana,
Yeah.
if you remember, again, going back to John Fisher's tendency to kind of move the goalposts, while, after the game starts, you probably recall, Ira, that the location was actually the old Wild Wild West site on the west side, of I-15, also on Tropicana, kinds of mixed use development along with the state. And you see that going on in stadium developments around the country, where the stadium is built and it's surrounded by these sports entertainment and even other kind of retail and sometimes residential uses as well.
Yeah, right across from In-N-Out Burger. Where I
That
could have been.
is currently the economic development project for that neighborhood, Ira.
Yeah, exactly. I would go across from the stadium to buy one. So, yeah, I'm hoping to live long enough to see the stadium not only be built, but in 40 years torn down and the Tropicana rebuilt. So that's what I'm looking for. To see if that can work out. But there's so many aspects, and without getting too much into the weeds with the budget, as I understand, there's the official budget, and then there's also, as you mentioned, the Fisher family contribution as well, plus the public funding, and there's and individual investors who might buy a minority interest in it as well. So you've got these moving parts. I know it's easy to criticize LVCVA, but I also think too that sometimes they take a chance on certain things looking down the road 5, 10, 15 years and realize that, yeah, there's muddy waters right now or churning waters right now, but eventually it works itself out and the positives outweigh the negatives along the way. Because there was that, if you remember with the Raiders Stadium, there was all kinds of stuff going on too. And that's proven to be a really big winner with not just the creators there, but concerts and other events held at the and UNLV football held at there. So yeah.
The funny thing is, Ira, if you recall, I kind of was kind of, since I covered the stadium issue for the Raiders from A to Z.
Before we go into one more subject that I want to talk about, it has nothing to do with, well, it does have to do with sports because bicycling is always good. So, and that's sort of sporty in certain situations, right? And especially in
We have
France.
the Tour de France going on
Yeah.
right now.
Exactly. Okay. So before we go into that, you were talking about your expertise now. You're learning more and more about filing FOIAs, a Freedom of Information Act, to get information from public agencies. And not just one, a particular one, but all of them. You sometimes have to do that. Do you find that it's easier now in the sense that governmental agencies are more transparent than they used to be because of the numbers of requests that are coming in, not just from you, but from other journalists?
Well, it really depends on what the agency is and who the leadership is of that particular government agency. Typically, government will take its cue from the executive director or the official executive who is the final boss. And if the boss is very compliant with open records and transparency, then I think that's the message, and the agency is open. But then you have some bosses who could be kind of petty, and they don't like the bad PR, and you will see it a little more difficult to get public records. Keep in mind that government, whether it's at Carson City or your local city governments, they need to be compliant, and sadly, usually it's mostly newspapers, sometimes TV stations. They will sometimes have to file lawsuits to get records
Well,
out.
hopefully it gets easier for you. Do you find that you lead on so many stories? Do you find that media in town in Las Vegas or elsewhere pick up a lot of your stories that you write about?
Some do, some don't. I mean, it's a mixed bag. Again, it depends on the personality and the news judgment of an editor at a publication. or a news organization. So it's kind of a mixed bag, actually, Ira. I mean, some are very responsive and follow me that same day, and others, and there's kind of a weird vibe sometimes in the media that if your reporting is so good, and if your news stories are the sole source of information on a topic, sometimes other news organizations will not want to get involved because they don't want to quote you. They don't want to quote
Yeah,
your news organization,
I
and
got you. I got
sometimes
you.
there's pettiness, but really, it shouldn't be that way. I mean, the bottom line is you're trying to get the best, truthful, accurate information to the public and to the reader.
No, very good point. Before I let you go, got to talk about the paved trail in Red Rock and how that's important, why it's important, your background as an author of a book on biking. You're a dedicated biker. You always show people where in town you can park a bicycle, where you normally can't, et cetera. Been a big fan of that for years. But tell us about how this came to be, this paved trail in Red Rock. And people listening and watching from out of Las Vegas may not know about Red Rock, but it's a wonderful place. But there are some issues on that 19-mile safety trail or road trail. It was State Route 159.
Well, the Red Rock National Conservation Area is a absolute natural jewel for Las Vegas, and sometimes all the glitz and glamour focuses on the strip, and people don't realize there is a natural resource called Red Rock that is just west of the growing suburb of Summerlin. It's west of the strip, and it's become very popular. I was blown away that the district manager from the Bureau of Land Management said there are 3.5 million visitors come to Red Rock every year. It's an amazing attraction. And the road, like you mentioned, State Route 159 used to be a quiet two-lane state road, and it's become a very, very busy road now because not only is it the main artery for people to get to Red Rock, it's also become a commuter corridor between Las Vegas and Pahrump. And you have people going in both directions for jobs, and especially Pahrump, because people now live in Pahrump and work in Las Vegas because the housing costs are slightly less in Pahrump. So it's become a very big commuter road besides being a recreational corridor. So sadly, 20 years ago, there was a police officer and run driver on State Route 159. There was a group led by Heather Fisher from the little village of Blue Diamond, to lean on government to create a paved trail for all kind of users. It's not just bicyclists. It would be runners and people who could walk. And it basically would draw on the bicycle, what we call the vulnerable road users, off of a very busy road, State Route 159, onto a paved trail. And after 20 years and people like wondering when is this thing going to be built, there was a pretty amazing groundbreaking July 1st at 7 a.m. just outside of Summerlin to commemorate the first segment of this 19-mile trail that will go from Summerlin to the Red Rock Visitor Center. I think you can make the case that this project needed to be started years ago. It's a long time coming. There's been a lot of frustration. And to me, it was not only a sense of joyfulness, but also just relief that local government was being responsive. This was a very, very big partnership. You had Clark County, which hosted, and everyone had to work together to get this project going.
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been Alan Snell. He's founder of LVSportsBiz.com. For everything about Alan and LV Sports Biz, you just go to LVSportsBiz.com. Follow him on X at LV Sports Biz. It's everything is LVSportsBiz.com. In fact, Alan is changing his name to LVSportsBiz.com legally. So go there for your front row seat to Las Vegas sports business. Alan, thanks again for coming on the show.
It's always great to be here, Ira.
Thanks. See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world.
Anything you want us to be.